Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your questions in just a moment, but before we do, I want to draw your attention to MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. It's the 4x6 laminated flip chart available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Why do I think this resource is so incredibly important? To answer that question, I want to take you back to an episode of The West Wing. Many of you will remember this as perhaps the most popular of all TV series. In this episode, the atmosphere was nothing short of electric. The President of the United States was about to address some talk show hosts who had gathered together in the White House. And as he entered the hall, they all stood, of course, and applauded. Except one. She was a Jewish woman dressed in a bright green jacket. And quite frankly, on the show, her presence seemed to rattle the president. And so he lost his train of thought, not just once, but quite a number of times, and then finally turned on his heel and spoke directly to the still-seated talk show host. Now, the issue that was really the critical issue came to the fore almost immediately. Homosexuality, as it turned out, was the bone of contention. The talk show host, who was a PhD, called it an abomination. And for the president, that was the real abomination. The PhD smartly diverted authority from herself to the Bible. Clarification, however, only served to open up the rhetorical floodgates. Words riveted in the memory of the president burst forth like venom. The first words were a virtual snarl. Leviticus 18:22. Then catching himself, the president quickly donned the cloak of Columbo and asked whether Leviticus 18:22 might be comparable to Exodus 21:7. After all, if the condemnation of homosexuality wasn't a problem for the PhD, perhaps selling his youngest daughter into slavery as sanctioned by Exodus 21:7 wouldn't be problematic either. And what about his chief of staff? Perhaps in accordance with Exodus 35:2, he should put him to death because he was always working on the Sabbath. Well, the president was now in full command, and he pressed on with unrepressed sarcasm. Should the Washington Redskins or the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame be forced to wear gloves while handling a football, since Leviticus 11:7 forbids touching dead pigskin? Should his brother be stoned for planting different crops side by side? Should his mother be burned to death for wearing garments made of different threads? Well, as he paused to catch his breath, you can imagine the hush that invaded the rotunda. The once self-assured talk show host, well, she rose rather slowly to her feet and her face was bright red. Her quick wit, her commanding presence, well, they had simply vanished. The president, quite frankly, had rendered her speechless. Now, put yourself in her shoes for just a moment. Imagine the humiliation you would feel if you were standing in her shoes. What would you, what could you have said? Had the president of the United States really demonstrated the Bible to be outdated and absurd? Should the Bible, like the sexual mores the Bible promotes, be relegated to the scrap heap of history? Do the very scriptures that condemn homosexuality commend slavery? Should football be outlawed since touching pigskin makes one unclean? Must we kill those who work on the Sabbath? What's up with stoning men for planting different crops side by side, or with burning women for wearing clothing made of two different threads? Bottom line, as sermons go, this one was smoking. From its original air date to the very present, I can think of no more effective sermon ever aired on television. There was no mistaking the message. It was crystal clear. No matter how much evidence you can produce to demonstrate that God has spoken or that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin, what God has said is clearly outdated. It's irrelevant in a modern age of scientific enlightenment. Of course, the expression of polite exasperation etched on the faces of the audience was a perfect crescendo to the rhetorical skills of the president as he plunged verbal daggers into these pages. They had no relevance anymore. They were outdated. A Bible that teaches homosexuality is an abomination and slavery is okay? Well, it has no standing on the vanguard of the 21st century enlightenment. Well, remember, during its heyday, The West Wing was among the most popular shows on television. It was a show that received rave reviews from diverse audiences, ranging from political science professors to White House staffers. But that leaves the questions on the table. How do you deal with these attacks on the Bible? Is the Bible really antiquated? Is it really outdated? Has it been proven to be homophobic, horrific, false? I raise these questions at the beginning of this broadcast for a very specific purpose. Quite frankly, most Christians don't know how to respond to these kinds of accusations about the Bible. And therefore, because the accusations go unmet, people think that they are somehow or other accurate, legitimate, credible. And this is precisely why it is so credible for you as a Christian to be able to use these kinds of arguments as opportunities, not to be cowed or red-faced, but opportunities to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. It's crucial. And again, that's why I'm so excited about this resource. We need desperately to know how to combat this kind of what's called liberal tolerance, which, by the way, is neither liberal nor tolerant. Just sounds like it. We need to know how to combat this with truth. And if we don't, well, let me put it bluntly, we will have lost the culture. Are we losing the culture wars? Trust me, the answer is unequivocal. It is yes. Why? It's because we're not equipped. So I've done everything I could to take the information, make it memorable for you so that you could internalize it, so you could demonstrate credibly to a listening world, and believe me, they're listening, that the Bible is not antiquated, outdated, irrelevant, but it is the hope of Western civilization. Again, the resource available for your gift, it is memorable, poignant, important, and available to you. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. Be right back from the break in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up today, Linda in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question for you. My brother does not, well, he has a very hard time accepting, and I do believe he's really trying to know or understand, but he has a really hard time accepting why God would ever make a devil. And I've tried to explain to him. I have not been able to. And I was just wondering if there's anything that you have written that could maybe help him.
Sure. Yeah, I have written about this in various places, but let me give you a simple answer on the air. First of all, let's do it by way of analogy. I think your brother will probably recognize that you're not completely perfect. In fact, if he's candid with himself, he'll recognize that he is not absolutely perfect. Now, why is that? Well, it is because God created humanity with the freedom to act or to act otherwise. And as a result of that, love is rendered possible. So in the beginning, when God creates Adam and Eve, he doesn't create them as robots who have to love him. He creates them with the possibility of sinning because he gives them freedom of choice. Now, they actualize the possibility of sin by actually sinning, and as a result of that, we live in a fallen world. Now, again, could God have done that otherwise? Absolutely. He could have created people as robots, but if he did that, then love would be rendered meaningless. Your brother wants you to love him, no doubt, but he wants that love to be freely given. He doesn't want to have to pull out a gun and say, love me or else, because if he did that, love wouldn't mean anything. So let's now move away from the analogy to the devil and say the same thing that is true with human beings is true with spiritual beings, and that's precisely what angels are. Angels were created with will as well, so they could choose to love God and serve him, or they could choose to rebel against God. Why? Because God created them in such a way whereas love would be absolutely meaningful as opposed to meaningless. As a result of that, some of the angels rebelled. They chose rebellion as opposed to relationship with God. And so they fell, and that is what demons are. The devil and demons are fallen spiritual beings who fell because they had the ability to choose to love God or reject that love and grace and relationship. So God didn't create the devil. He created the potential for evil by giving angels freedom of choice. They actualize those choices, and that's why we have fallen spiritual beings, just like it is why we have fallen human beings.
Yes, the approach I've used with him is that, God created us with choice, with the power of choice.
Yes.
But I think maybe using the analogy of love, it may touch him.
Yeah, because, again, that's the logical consequence, right? I mean, if you don't have choice, then love is rendered meaningless. But with choice, love becomes meaningful. So why does God create people with choice? Well, because he wants people to love him. He wants relationship with human beings. Now, we can't answer why. Why would God? He doesn't need that. He is perfectly self-fulfilled within the relationships that are part and parcel of the triune God. The Father loves the Son loves the Father loves the Holy Spirit loves the Son and the Father. So God is perfectly satisfied within his own nature, and yet God desired a relationship with people such as you and I.
Okay. I'll try that.
Good question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joseph in California. Hi, Joseph.
Yeah, hello. I was listening to your program earlier when you were talking about the fake show, The West Wing, and the attack on the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't grasp what you were saying as far as, like, he was trying to say the Bible is antiquated, and I didn't grasp why it was antiquated according to them, and why it's not according to the body of Christ.
Well, it's antiquated according to the West Wing show that I referenced, because the Bible teaches that homosexuality is an aberrant human activity, and that it actually is counterproductive to human beings. And political correctness today says that homosexuality is a viable alternative lifestyle. Also, the West Wing president, President Bartlett, was talking about how many of the laws within the context of a theocratic kingdom are absurd. Now, the first thing that he didn't realize is that these are laws within the context of a theocratic kingdom. And those laws were civil and ceremonial and pointing towards something. And once that something, in this case someone, comes, the laws are abrogated. The laws against eating shellfish, for example, have been abrogated. The reason they've been abrogated is because Jesus has fulfilled them. And then Jesus made very clear that they're abrogated when he said, it is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It is that which proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus pronounced all foods clean. The same thing could be said with regards to a whole host of other things. Does the Bible really teach slavery? No. What's happened is anachronistic modern meanings have been read into ancient Near Eastern contexts, and that's hardly an enlightened way of going about reading literature, but that's precisely what was going on in the West Wing.
Yeah, they have a specious argument. Do you have a book or something that goes into more detail?
Well, I do, and the reason I brought this up at the beginning of the show was, first and foremost, to say that I have a flip chart that gives this to people in such a way that they can remember the information. Secondly, in detail, I've written about this and given detailed responses to every one of the accusations brought up by the West Wing with respect to the Bible.
Good. Has God spoken? Okay.
Yeah.
And your name? What's your name? I'm just listening to your radio station for the first time.
Oh, so wonderful that you're listening. My name's Hank Hanegraaff.
Oh, Hank Hanegraaff, Has God Spoken?
Yes.
Okay, and I can find that. Where would I find
that?
Well,
if you hang on, we can get it out to you, or you can just go to equip.org, EQUIP.org.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much, Mr. Hanegraaff.
You got it. Bless you. Well, go back to the phone line and talk to Peggy in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I have a quick question for you. I just lost my job about a month ago, and before I lost my job, I had taken over the management of my brother's care. He's disabled. And so, you know, it's a lot. I have a 12-year-old, and just recently my sister went into the hospital for surgery, and she'll be out for 3 weeks. So needless to say, I'm all over the place these days. Having said all of that, I haven't focused a whole lot on finding employment, although there are opportunities that are coming in as a result of, I guess, the service that I'm doing with my siblings. You know, I have my good days, I have my bad days, I have my begrudging days. Can you tell me where to go in the scriptures to help me do what I do for my family, with graciousness and patience and care, because I really want to do this because I know God wants me to do what is right, and he's, you know, he's behind me on all of this, but sometimes it does take its toll. I'm a single mom and I'm doing all of this. So can you just give me scriptures to go to help me better handle all that's going on in my life right now?
Well, I think, first of all, you're an angel. Just thinking about what you're doing and why you're doing it and caring about doing it, all of that is just wonderful. And maybe you can even think that the Lord has opened this door up for you by closing the door of work, but opening the other door of being a caregiver. And you think about what Jesus said, the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." In essence, that's describing what the Lord has opened up for you, a door of service to people that desperately need you. And as the mother of a child, as a caregiver to your siblings, you could not be involved in a more productive role. And I don't suggest it's easy by any stretch of the imagination. I can tell you, as the father of 12, it is a lot of work, a lot of care, but the rewards are eternal rewards. Bless you. Keep keeping on and realize that the Lord is going to be a provision to you just as you are a provision to others. I'll be right back tomorrow to answer more of your questions, so please stay tuned for that.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.